of the Israelites, right?
Pouting.
What's that?
Pouting.
Say that again.
Pouting.
Pouting. Pouting. Yeah. Complaining, pouting. Oh, my life. My life. Nobody else has to do this. Oh, yes, they do. And they should if they're not. Yeah, so right away, all the way with a happy heart. That needs to be our expectation of obedience. We see this all over Scripture, these principles, all over, especially Proverbs. It's God, this is what God expects of us as His children. He expects you to obey Him when
honor, esteem. You need to esteem them as well. What are some antonyms? What are some words that are the opposite of this? Honor. Disrespect. Yeah, yeah. What else?
What's
criticize? That's a good one. Yeah, you can't criticize someone if you're honoring them. They don't go hand in hand. That's good. Slandering, talking crazy about them behind their back. Yeah? Has to do with what our sister was saying, right? Whether they're there or not, you're still honoring them. Good. A child must show respect to their parents. They must. It's not an option. It's not a suggestion. It's not something that you wish could happen. This is expected of all children towards their parents, to honor them. How is this seen? How do we see when a child honors his or her parents? What's that? They're obedient. Yeah. Because it goes hand in hand, right? He is, when he's saying obedience, he is fleshing out this Old Testament command from the Ten Commandments. He is showing us, what does honor look like? How can I know if my child honors me? He's already told you. They'll obey you. So you see, parents, honor is something that is a heart level thing, but it will come out in their actions. And so if you have a disobedient child, then they probably don't respect you the way that they ought to. If your child isn't doing what you say right away, all the way with a happy heart, then somewhere along the line, there's disrespect. There's not the valuing of you or what you say. So that's serious, isn't it? Yes, in the back. Yeah.
Carrying on what you need as a Christian, even though his parents don't deserve it.
Yes. Yeah. 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 Sometimes it's very difficult for a child to honor their parents while they're still alive because they don't really deserve. What's that?
But God tells you to.
But God tells you to, and sometimes the only time you can really, where we really see it is when the parent passes. Yeah, and they finally honor their parents in some way. This gets at the point that I wanted to make next. So, good segue, brother. Is this an option for children to honor their parents?
No.
So, we're talking about respect here, right? Honor, respect. Does a parent have to earn their child's respect? No. A child does not have the right to say, well, you know, you haven't earned my respect. That's why I'm not listening to you. That's when you take him into the back. Let me teach you respect then. Right? The parent is not required to earn their child's respect or honor or obedience. That's just expected. And not just by you, it's by God. They are expected to honor you no matter what. And that's hard. That's a hard task at times, right? Because there's times where you don't deserve it. So what I'm saying here is parents do not need to earn this honor from their children. However, you ought to be worthy of it. You ought to be worthy of it. So you don't have to earn it, but you should be worthy of it. Right? You should be the kind of man, the kind of woman that is respectable, that garners that honor and obedience. The kind of man or woman that a child would want to honor and obey. So you're not let off the hook, parents, to just, you know, be a fool. Right? That's your child's job in a sense. You should be done with foolishness by now. It's your job to be the wise one, to be the respectable one, to be the honorable one. That's your task. In the Lord. It says here back in verse 1, children, obey your parents in the Lord. Just a quick word about that. We need to keep going. A quick word about in the Lord. The obedience of children, the hope, desire of God is that your child would be saved, and their obedience is in the context of their relationship with God. So their submission, obedience, their honoring of you, their relationship with you as a parent is inside the context of their relationship with Christ. That's why he says, obey your parents in the Lord. And so there is a greater authority that they are really submitting to. And that's a desire. And especially if your child professes faith, you need to bring this into the mix of your conversations and your relationship with your child. That it's not just me and you. It's how you're treating me is a reflection on your relationship with the Lord. And so especially if your child is a believer, then how they treat you, how they relate to you is a wonderful, helpful barometer for their relationship with Christ. So if they're having a hard time obeying you and it's just a bad day, you can tell something's different about them today, they have just a bad attitude, they're not honoring you, then that's a clue for you that what relationship is off? What is it? What relationship is off? Their relationship with Christ. Yeah, that's right. Their relationship with the Lord. Exactly. And parents, this is also your relationship to them is in the context of the Lord, right? Obey your parents in the Lord. So this whole dynamic between child and parent is under the relationship, under the dynamic, the sphere. It's within the sphere, the realm of this primary relationship with God, with Christ. And so parents, this is what Christ expects of you. He expects you to expect obedience and honor. Does that make sense? And if you don't expect that from your children, then you're dishonoring him and disobeying him. Do you understand that? You see the tier, the spheres of your life, of your heart, right? You are relating to your child, but that is within the sphere of your relationship with Christ. And if you're not doing this right, then something's off here. So don't lower God's standards of obedience because you are too tired or too busy to enforce them. By the way, when it says obey your parents in the Lord, this doesn't mean that only Christian children are expected to obey their parents. It doesn't. All right, let's keep going. God wants their good. Number two on your notes, God wants their good. So God wants heart obedience was first, and then second here, God wants their good. This is God's will for your child. He desires their good. That's wonderful. Now, we get this from a few points here in this passage. He says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. This is right. And the grounds for the rightness of that, well, what's in verse 2? What happens in verse 2? I'll turn there. Verse 2 and 3, what happens? What does the author of Ephesians do?
There's a promise.
Yeah, but where does he refer to?
The Old Testament.
The Old Testament. What in the Old Testament?
Ten
the Ten Commandments in the Old Testament, the law of God. What's the standard of righteousness in the Bible?
The Ten Commandments.
The law of God, same thing, right? So the standard of righteousness is the law of God. And he says, children, obey your parents, for this is right. The idea of righteousness. This is appropriate, is the point. This is what the law expects of you. This is what God expects of humanity. Not just his people. This is what he expects of all humanity, that children obey and honor their parents. So through obeying, the child obeys God's law. The basic reason for children to obey and honor their parents is simply because it's right. It's right. Who here in this passage, who decides what is right here in this passage? What's that? The Lord. And again, I'm trying to really emphasize this, so we're going to be repeating things, right? It's okay. God sets the standard of what is right, right? Correct? And so how do we know that this is the standard that God has set in the context?
In the Lord.
It's in the Lord. And then verse 2 and 3, what does he quote?
The Ten Commandments.
Where God has established this is what's right, this is what's wrong. Do you see? God decides what is right. And that's why he quotes the fifth commandment. Children obey your parents. Children honor your parents, rather. Because God has already told you what is right. That's what he's saying. God's already told you what is right. He's already told you that this is the right thing. Now, our society has a different take on what's right and wrong. According to our society, who decides what is right and wrong?
Me.
Me. Yeah. I decide what's right and wrong. Or who else could decide what's right and wrong? The child. The government. Whatever the Supreme Court says. Or maybe not right now, according to people. A popular consensus, right? Whatever the majority decides, that's what's right. That's not the way we need to think. That is a worldly way of thinking. God tells you what's right and wrong. It's not what's most popular. It's not what gets the most votes, or not what the polls say. It's not what it says on social media. It's not what you think in your own heart and mind, whether I don't care how convinced you are. It's not what your child says is right and wrong. God says what's right. And what is right is that they obey and honor you, parents. And so when a child obeys their parents, they're doing exactly what they should be doing. Now, this is a commandment, he says, with a promise. This is the first commandment with a promise in verse 2. The direction, the command to honor is undergirded with a promise. The promise is in verse 3. So that it may be well with you and that you may live long in the earth. Let me go through this quickly for the sake of time. So it may be well with you is just simply talking about the quality of life. The quality of life. If a child obeys and honors their parent, how can that improve the quality of their life? What do you think, class? Peace in the home.
Their thoughts and their intentions, wherever they go, will reflect what they learn from their parents and from what their parents receive from the world.
Yeah, so their life is going to be governed by the biblical teaching, hopefully, that they're getting at home, which is always a good thing. How else? And specifically, how does a child that obeys and honors their parents improve the quality of their life?
Their primary relationship is with their parents.
Yeah, that's wonderful. Yeah, their primary relationship is with mom and dad. And so if that's off, if that's filled with conflict and turmoil, then you got a lousy life ahead of you. That's why a lot of kids are just upset, because that relationship with you is not right, which is an indication that their relationship with God is not right. Yeah, very good. Any other thoughts about how obedience and honor can improve someone's quality of life?
The children in turn will teach their own children.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, so generationally, it'll go on. Good. What else?
I mean, you can tell somebody when, you know, sometimes somebody is very hostile or doesn't respect authority. As an adult, often people would say, this guy probably didn't listen to his parents when he was young, right? Or his parents didn't discipline him.
Yeah, yeah, good.
That changes a lot as they grow up.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, you can tell someone that has never been told no. Right? When a police officer finally tells them no, they freak out and they have a heart. They have a bad day. Let's put it that way. Yeah. So, but if they were told and taught how to obey and honor authority, then that's just going to make life in general easier. Right? They're probably going to be more stable in their work because they can respect authority and be consistent and know what it means to obey and do the hard jobs even though they don't want to. So they'll keep a job longer. They'll be disciplined to sit in school and get an education, learn and be ready for the workforce. They'll relate to all other authorities in their lives well. This is, you're preparing them for life, parents. The second thing, that you may live long in the land. This relates to the duration, the length of life. What's that?
He won't die.
Yeah. Yeah. It's very practical. I mean, it's just, you know, if you are not going to honor your father and mother, then, well, your quality of life is going to diminish, and you're probably not going to live that very, very long. Because your life is filled with strife. So parents, for the good of your children, if you want your children to have a long life, you want to have grandchildren and great-grandchildren, then teach your kids to obey and honor you. A lot of these kids out there that are just running the streets, it's because they either don't have parents or they don't honor their parents. What's that?
They don't fear God.
And they don't fear God. Yeah. That's really the ultimate point, isn't it? Parents haven't instilled the fear of God into their hearts. They haven't taught them that first lesson. Remember, fear of God is what? The beginning of wisdom, of knowledge. It's the first lesson you have to teach your children, to fear God.
They said, you know, it goes back down. They say, well, I didn't know this about parenting. I didn't know this. My parents didn't teach me, so therefore, that's why it goes from one generation to another. It just goes rapid and it gets worse.
Yeah. Yeah, what would we say? You bring up a great point, brother. So a lot of people, and maybe even some of us, don't have this. We have a hard time thinking of what this looks like, right? So for those of us that have that didn't have that, what hope do we have? I mean, how can we change the next generation? How can we change this cycle? What does God give us? He gives us the gospel of Jesus Christ that can transform hearts and lives. What else?
Right from wrong.
Yeah, yeah. there's an understanding of right and wrong, of justice and injustice. And so you may not have had it modeled for you, but you know, because you're made in the image of God, what is right and what is wrong. So there's not very much of an excuse. What else? What else does God give us to change to shift the tide?
His
word of God, right? The word of God. That's why we're having this class, is so that if you didn't have that model, well, then this is your chance to get instructed. You see? That's wonderful. Yeah, he gives himself as the ultimate model, as the ultimate Father, who does all of this perfectly towards you. Just look to him. And then he gives physical models to us within the church, doesn't he? Disciplers, mentors, leaders in the church should be models of this. All right. Number three. God wants change. God wants change. Oh, my. Okay. Children, obey your parents, verse 1, in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. By the way, it's both, not one or the other. It's both. Remember that, dads. Which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may be well with you, and that you may live long in the land. Then verse 4, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. God wants change for your child. So what's next, right? What are we preparing them for next? We're preparing them to change. We're getting them ready for the next change, for the next thing that needs to change about them. Now, this is all under the umbrella of that first warning, though. Do not provoke your children to anger. Literally, that word to provoke to anger, literally it is to come alongside their anger and incite it and to encourage it. The same idea as the paraclete who comes alongside to speak words of comfort and encouragement to us. This is to come alongside and stir up and agitate to anger. There are countless ways that this can be done. Countless ways. What are maybe just a few ways that a father or a mother can provoke their child to anger? Telling them to take out the trash. Well, maybe not. We're talking about sinfully here, right? Unrighteously, right? Yes.
By saying to them, telling them to do something, and then they respond to you, and you say, because I told you so, that's why. And not explaining to them purposely why it is that you want to direct them to do something. Because it honors the parent, and it also reflects the parent's love for the parent honoring God.
Yeah, so let me talk about that. When you give a command or direction to your child, there is the reality that simply because you told them to do something, they need to obey you. And so technically, yeah, you can say, because I told you so. That's why you do it, right? That's really what it comes down to. That, however, I would argue that that's probably not the first thing that you should say. They may not need a reason to do what you told them to do. However, you should. Does that make sense?
Yes.
They may not need a reason to obey you, a reason for to do the action that you're telling them to do. But you need to have a reason. Right? So that means that you can't just willy-nilly just give off orders just because I like bossing people around. That's actually provoking your child to anger. Just being bossy for the sake of being bossy. Because, well, I have a child slash slave now, right? That's what it is. No. You need to have a reason for why you're telling your child to do what they do. Now, they can ask for that, and I would argue that, I don't have a verse for this, so this is just wisdom, this is advice. I would argue that, I would suggest that it would be wise for you to give a short explanation, like, here's what I'm doing here, right? But it's not a debate, though, at that point. You don't have to convince them that you're right and they're wrong, or your reason for them doing this is actually valid. If they ask, why do I have to do that? Well, then tell them, because you should have a reason. Well, because I'm trying to teach you how to be responsible. Or whatever else. Well, that's why. And so do it, because I told you to do it. Right? So it can get there, but there is that wisdom of, well, you need to have a reason too. You can't just willy-nilly give orders, because that's provocation. That's provocation. So one way you can provoke a child to anger is by just being the dictator of, you know, like every time the butler bell rings, they have to come and serve you. That's not good. What's maybe one more way that we can provoke a child to anger? What's that? Yeah, by just being a hypocrite, right? By not being a man of integrity or a woman of integrity. By telling them to do something and you don't even do it yourself. Yeah, why should I do that? I mean, you don't have a reason to do that in your own life. What reason do I have to do it?
Being critical of something they've done.
Yeah, being critical.
And maybe not teaching them, you know, explaining how something should have been done, but you're just critical about it.
Yeah.
Yes. And then you just pick it apart and
lose heart. Yes. By just picking apart their efforts, right? I hope that you're not the kind of parent where their child comes home with a drawing of with crayons that they made of you and you start picking out how ugly it is. I hope that's not you, Christian parent. You don't start picking apart that, well, this is not Picasso, right? Do not do that. And don't do that with the other chores that they might do, right? Teach them, show them, explain to them. We're almost out of time. That has to do with in instruction, actually. So we're jumping ahead a little bit, but that has to do, because we're on the topic, that has to do with instruction. So a helpful framework for instruction is I, we, you. I do it, we do it, then you do it. Right? So that is, I'll do it, watch me. Okay, next time, okay, let's go do it together. I'll walk you through the steps. I'll remind you, and that might take a little while, right? It's not just 1, 2, 3, right? This is a process of instruction, right? So it's not like, I'm going to show you once, you better get it. That's probably not going to work. Okay, and then we do it together, and I'll, you know, coach you as you go. And then, okay, now it's your responsibility. I might have to hover a little bit at the beginning and make sure that's okay, follow up. Remind, I might have to do that, that's okay, but at some point it's your responsibility and I need to trust you with that and not come behind and pick apart. Well, there's one dust bunny in right there, the one in the whole room that you miss. What about all the other thousands that they picked up? Say thank you for that, parent. All right, another thing here. Oh, man, there's so much. Bring them up. A quick reminder, parents. You're raising adults. You're not raising children. You're not trying to raise a child. You're trying to raise an adult. That's the product. So everything that's tied in with that, that needs to be part of the training and the discipline and instruction process. because I'm trying to prepare you for adulthood. That's the goal in all areas of life. So that means you need to discipline and instruct with self-control, with their attitudes, with their thinking, with their understanding of God, of themselves, of the world, with their diligence, with their money, with their decision-making. All of these things are part of discipline and instruction. Because you're these are all things that adults do, right?
Or should do.
Or should do, thank you. And so you need to prepare them for that. So you're raising them up. You're bringing them up. What are you bringing up? You're bringing up an adult. That's the product. An adult that loves the Lord and follows his commands. That's what you're trying to raise up. The hard part about parenting is I can't control the heart, right? I can't make them love the Lord. I can't write the law of God upon their hearts. God has to do that. But he uses me, right? It's not going to be a zap. He uses your efforts day after day. Discipline. This is the Greek word paideia, where we get the word pediatrics from. This is just training. And it's a positive and negative side of training. Positive and negative side of training. This has to do mostly on conduct. The goal here of discipline is to promote a Christ-honoring lifestyle. To promote a Christ-honoring lifestyle. And again, instruction. It's a Greek word, nuthesia, literally to place into the mind. It's both instruction and warning, so it's positive and negative thoughts. It's a focus on the mind, thoughts, attitudes, and principles of their heart, of their mind. One connection I wanted to point out that was really neat that I saw. Discipline and instruction. These connect with other words that are in our passage. Look at the passage. Discipline, again, has to do with conduct, behavior. What other word was given that has to do with conduct or behavior in this passage? Obey. It's obey at the beginning. And then, this will make the next one a little easier. Instruction has to do with the mind, with the thoughts, with attitude. What command was given that has to do with the mind or the attitude of the child? Honor. See that? It's just wonderful. How it all connects, how it's all just, it just makes sense. My OCD brain loves that. But it's true. The expectation of children is to honor or to obey and honor. Then the expectation of parents is to discipline and instruct. So if you want your child to obey you, then there needs to be discipline. There needs to be training happening. If you want your children to honor you, then you have to instruct them. You have to teach them the word of God. See that? So there's a synergy here to this. And the more you discipline, the more you can expect them to obey, the more you instruct, the more you can expect them to honor.
So as parents, it has to be 110% involvement.
Yeah, yeah, that's good. Yeah, this means parents, you have to be engaged, especially fathers, you have to be engaged, involved in the life of your child. You're going to be the source of this. The church can't do this in your place. We can't replace you. Children's ministries aren't trying to replace you. We're trying to just reinforce what should be happening at home. And by the way, we can see if it is or it isn't. Parents, this takes time, right? You can't microwave this. You can't just hope that this will happen. This takes so much time and consistency to discipline and instruct, to train and teach. All right, we're out of time. There's more, but we're out of time. We'll cover some of the other stuff as we go. I hope that that's helpful to you, parents. I hope that also you, children's ministry workers, there are ways where you can mimic discipline, right? Not maybe in the full ways of parenthood, but there are ways where there can be consequences and training of discipline. And of course, we instruct the children. And ministry workers, you should expect the same thing. Parents, you need to train your children to act the same way in class. When they go to class, they obey and honor their teacher. Okay? Does that make sense? And ministry workers, expect that. Require that. Train it. Teach it. All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word that is so helpful, so clear. It drives away the fog of how this world would tell us just to figure it out, hope for the best, or we decide what's right and wrong. Lord, thank you for your word that has given us clear guardrails, Lord, to keep us from harm. I pray, Lord, for the children of our church that they would indeed obey and honor their parents for their sakes, Lord, that it may go well with them and that they may live long on the earth. And Lord, ultimately, the goal of all of this is that they would come to know you, that they would first fear God and respect you, God, and see that they should be concerned with how you think of them, how you relate to them. And then as we give them the gospel, Lord, I pray that you would save our children. Save them from years of sin and rebellion that one day certainly they're going to regret. Be merciful, God. Help us to be diligent and consistent as parents. And Lord, if we've failed to this point, may we ask for forgiveness and just move forward and just do the next right thing. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. All right, you're dismissed.